Today I want to consider one very important and practical topic from today's Torah chapter. I want to talk about the price of our forgiveness. The price of our forgiveness. Do you remember the story of Jacob and Esau? Do you remember what was the main difference between them? Jacob understood the importance of spiritual blessing and was willing to pay a heavy price in following the Lord. Esau simply neglected his birthright because he did not understand and did not want to understand the value of spiritual blessing. It was something cheap to him, cheaper than a bowl of soup. So, spiritual blessing, the grace that comes from God into our lives, has its own important price. And the price of our forgiveness and mercy is the precious blood of our Messiah, our Lord and Savior, Yeshua. I say this because our eternity depends on understanding this issue. We will spend our eternity either with God or in separation from Him. Let us read Luke chapter 7, verse 40, until the end of the chapter. Luke chapter 7, and started with verse 40. It is so important message for us today. And answering, Yeshua said to him, to one of the Pharisees, Yeshua said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he said, say it, teacher. A moneylender had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii, but the other 50. When neither could repay him, he cancelled both debts. So, which of them will love him more? Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt cancelled. You have judged correctly, Yeshua said. Turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered into your house, and you didn't give me water for my feet, but she has drenched my feet with tears and wiped them with her hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but from the time she entered, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I tell you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But the one who is forgiven little loves little. He then said to her, your sins have been forgiven. Verse 49. But those who were reclining at table with him began to say to one another, who is this who even forgives sins? Then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in shalom. Wow. In other words, only people who have realized their deep need for mercy, who have repented and deeply regret their sins and transgressions, and genuinely love the Lord, follow Him, pay the price of their dedication. Only them can follow the Lord. And those who do not understand what price was paid for them, what great mercy the Lord showed them, simply are not able to love Yeshua and appreciate the greatest gift of mercy. For such a person, the path of salvation is closed. Let us read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 28 through verse 31. Hebrews 10, 28 through 31. Such a difficult, such a strong words are here. Anyone who rejected the Torah of Moses dies without compassion on the word of two or three witnesses. How much more severe do you think the punishment will be for the one who has trampled Ben Elohim, Son of God, underfoot, and has regarded as unholy the blood of the covenant by which he was made holy, and has insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know the one who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." And again, "Adonai will judge his people." It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. What a warning for us. What a warning this is for us. Someone said that the New Testament, Brit Hadashah, is softer and less demanding on us, but I disagree entirely with that statement. The Torah tells us how to do the right thing and what consequences will come from breaking God's word. The New Testament judges our thoughts and the motives of our hearts. Yeshua revealed the holiness and purity of God, his standards for our lives. I want to reread the key verse here, verse 29, Hebrews 10:29. Once more. "How much more severe do you think the punishment will be for the one who has trampled Ben Elohim, Son of God, underfoot, and has regarded as unholy the blood of the covenant by which he was made holy, and has insulted the Spirit of grace?" You see in this verse that the main problem is that a person does not value, does not understand enough the price paid for him by the Lord and Savior Yeshua, and therefore tramples on the great sacrifice made for him by God's Son. Trampling simply means ignoring, disregarding the Lord and everything connected to him. It is so important always to remember that the blood of the New Testament, New Covenant, is the price of the covenant of God with humanity, with us. The Bible warns us to regard the blood of the New Testament as a shrine. Make holy, sanctify, separate it from ordinary things and present it for the Lord and his plans. Some people regard it as unholy, the blood of the covenant, and because of this, they insulted the Spirit of grace. And the Holy Spirit, Ruach HaKodesh in Hebrew, cannot dwell in the lives of such people because the Ruach HaKodesh is holy and pure. And as a result, such people lost the ability to see their sinfulness and become incapable of repentance. Do you remember John 16 verse 8? It's about the Holy Spirit. "When he comes, he will convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment." Please, always remember that one of the main tasks of the Holy Spirit is to convict a person of sins and thus lead a person to tshuva, in Hebrew tshuva, turning to the Lord. Genuine repentance and profound changes in a person's life. It is impossible to repent and come to Yeshua, come to the Lord, without the Holy Spirit. We need Holy Spirit. This is an essential and relevant topic today, because many people are frivolous about faith in God, about Yeshua's sacrifice, and therefore believe that God's grace is permissive. Some people believe that Yeshua died and shed his holy and precious blood so that God would simply close his eyes to the sins and iniquities of people. It's all. And because of false understanding, they think that it is enough just to stand up for a prayer of repentance and after that continue to live a sinful and ungodly life. But grace is not an excuse for sin or an excuse for iniquity. Let us read the definition of the grace of grace in the Bible. Titus chapter 2 verse 11, 12 and verse 14. It is so important to remember. Titus 2:11, 12 and 14. Here's the definition of grace in the scriptures. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men. And verse 12, training us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live in a manner that is self-controlled and righteous and godly in the present age. And verse 14, Yeshua, He gave Himself for us so that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and so that He might purify for Himself a chosen people. Chosen people, zealous for good deeds. You are chosen people, zealous for good deeds. The actual grace of God is in Yeshua, in our Messiah. He is the grace of God for us. Grace is pure and holy, and she teaches us how to live a pure, godly life. The grace of the Lord shows us that our Lord Yeshua gave Himself for us so that we might be forgiven and cleansed from all iniquity, from sin within us. And most importantly, God's grace leads us into serving God in the calling that we have from the Lord. Do you remember this verse? To purify for Himself a chosen people, zealous for good deeds. We are a chosen people. So today's Torah chapter teaches us these things, these truths. Yeah, it is in today's Torah chapter. So let's look at the life of Judah and his words that softened Joseph's heart from today's Torah chapter, and after which Joseph gave forgiveness to his brothers. And let's remember that Joseph is a type of the Messiah in the scriptures. And one of the titles of the Messiah in the scripture is Son of Joseph, the suffering Messiah. So let us read about Judah. Let us open Genesis verse chapter 37, verse 26. Genesis 37 started with verse 26. Here's the sad story of betrayal of their brother Joseph. So Genesis 37, 26. Then Judah said to his brothers, "What profit is there if we will kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come on, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let's not lay our hands on him, since he is our brother, our own flesh." His brothers listened to him. Wow, he decided to sell his brother to a slavery. Verse 28, when some men, Midianite merchants, passed by, they dragged Joseph up and out of the pit, and they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph to Egypt. This story reminds me of the act of Judas of the New Testament, that Yeshua was sold to the Romans for 30 pieces of silver. Very familiar story. Out of envy and a desire to gain some money, Judah decided to sell his brother Joseph, a Jew who would later become the savior of the entire family of Israel and all the peoples of Egypt. Yeshua was also sold for 30 pieces of silver and taken to death because of the envy and unbelief of his brothers, his family, the people of Israel. So what happened to Judah after that? After his betrayal, Judah was unable to stay with his family and he continued his spiritual decline. Chapter 38, the very next chapter, chapter 38, book of Genesis, verse 1. About the time Judah went down from his brothers and he camped near the Adumelite man, whose name was Hira. And we know this story, the next verses and until the end of the chapter 38. Judah went to a foreign land and took a foreign woman as his wife. And as a result of his apostasy from the Lord, his unrighteous deeds, his two sons died. and he experienced tremendous upheaval in his life. So his betrayal and fall from God cost him dearly. When I read this story, I truly believe that Judah is a type of people who rejected the Messiah, a kind of fallen humanity. It is a type of each one of us. Because of our sins and actions, we all rejected the Messiah Yeshua. We all. But something significant happened in his heart. He regretted his betrayal and re-evaluated his life. Let's read about Judah in the 44th chapter of Genesis, when Joseph decided to test his brothers and see if there was any remorse and repentance in their hearts. Let us open chapter 44, book of Genesis, today's Torah chapter. And let us start with verse 18. So here's the story. After many years, Judah and his brothers came to Joseph. They came for food. So verse 18. Then Judah approached him and said, "I beg you pardon, my lord. Please, let your servant say a word in my lord's ears. And don't be angry with your servant, since you are like Pharaoh." And let us start with verse 30. "Now if I come to your servant, my father and the boy isn't with us, since his life is bound to his life. When he sees that the boy is no more, he'll die. Then your servants will bring the gray hair of your servant, our father, down to Sheol in grief." And verse 32. "For your servant became pledged to the boy with my father, saying, 'If I don't bring him back to you, I will bear the blame before my father all my days.'" And the key verse 33. The same Judah who betrayed Joseph many years ago, now in verse 33. "So now, please, let your servant remain as my lord's slave in the boy's place, and let the boy go up with his brothers. For how can I go up to my father, and the boy is not with me? Else I must see the evil that would come upon my father." The same Judah who once betrayed Joseph is now ready to give his life as the atonement for his younger brother and his father's lives. I'm sure that a complete reassessment took place in the life of Judah, and he understood the value of his brother's life and the full weight of his past betrayal. Now we see Judah changed, repented, humbled before Joseph. That is what the scripture calls teshuvah, repentance. That is where the Lord calls you and me to complete repentance, to full and unconditional surrender to our Messiah. Judah was crushed entirely, and he puts himself as at the mercy of Joseph. And let's remember that Joseph is a type of Yeshua. Let us read the result of such repentance, such teshuvah, such a turn towards God. Very next chapter, chapter 45, verse 1. Here's the result of this great repentance of Judah. Verse 1, chapter 45, book of Genesis. "Now Joseph could no longer restrain himself in front of all who were standing by him. So he cried out, 'Get everyone away from me.' So no one stood with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers." But verse 2. "But he gave his voice to weeping so that the Egyptians heard and Pharaoh's household heard. Joseph said to his brothers, 'I'm Joseph. Is my father still alive?' And his brothers were unable to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, 'Please come near me.' So they came near. 'I'm Joseph, your brother, the one you sold to Egypt, he said. So now don't be grieved and don't be angry in your own eyes that you sold me here, since it was for preserving life that God sent me here before you. What a wonderful story. In response to the repentance of Judah, Joseph revealed himself to his brothers and brought salvation to the entire family of Jacob and all Egypt. The whole house of the Pharaoh heard and recognized Joseph as the savior of his people. I believe that in response to such sincere repentance, to such a deep awareness of sinfulness, our Messiah Yeshua is ready to open himself to his people, Israel, and all the peoples of the earth. The repentance of Judah is an example of our Teshuva to the Messiah Yeshua. Now I want to share something significant, something very, very important. Through the sincere repentance of Judah, the mercy and forgiveness of the Lord spread to all Israel. Joseph received and restored his brothers only after Judah's Teshuva. In other words, salvation had come to the entire nation of Israel, and forgiveness and the complete restoration of rights and spiritual inheritance. After Judah sacrificed himself as a sacrifice of repentance, a sacrifice of Teshuva, and laid his life at the feet of Joseph, the Lord blessed Judah through Jacob. Let us read Genesis 49, few very important verses, verse 8 through verse 11. Here's the result of Judah's repentance. Genesis 49, verse 8. Here's the blessing of Jacob over Judah, his prayer, his prophecy over Judah. Israel blessed Judah. Verse 8. Judah, so you are. Your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on your enemy's neck. Your father's sons will bow down to you. A lion's cub is Judah. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He crouches, lies down like a lion or like a lioness. Who would rouse him? Verse 10, here's the prophecy in the life of Judah. The scepter will not pass from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he to whom it belongs will come. To him will be the obedience of the people, Messiah. And verse 11, binding his foal to the vine, his donkey's colt to the choice vine, he washes his garments in wine, and in the blood of grapes his robe. Here it is. Jacob blessed Judah, saying that the Messiah of Israel would come from his tribe. This is a prophecy about how Yeshua rode a donkey into Jerusalem, thereby literally fulfilling Jacob's prophecy. The Messiah came through the tribe of Judah as the sign of complete restoration and blessing on his life. Judah was fully restored to his rights. So, here it is. Repentance in Hebrew Teshuva means turning to God, means ultimately putting your life at the feet of Yeshua the Messiah, like Judah at the feet of Joseph. It is also essential to remember that later the temple in Jerusalem was located on the territory of Judea. This region belonged to the tribe of Judah, and it was there that the temple service and sacrifices were performed. So, here's a very interesting prophecy. To some extent, the repentance of Judah is a prophecy about the purpose of the temple. Therefore, the primary purpose of the temple service was to bring everyone to the realization of sinfulness and genuine repentance before God. the believing Jew, coming with a sacrifice for sin, laid his life at the feet of the priest and the Lord, hoping for mercy and forgiveness. Mishpacha, we are called to surrender to the mercy of God. And we have nothing to justify ourselves with, nothing to pay for our sin. And that is why we need to surrender to the Lord and always remember what a great price was paid for us. The price of our forgiveness and mercy is the precious blood of our Messiah, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Thank you, Mishpacha. In the end, I want to remind you, if Beth Israel is a blessing to you, please consider being a blessing to Beth Israel. We will close with Aaron's blessing as we normally do at Beth Israel, and we will return to Eric's home for a final song. Let us pray. Let us pray. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Shabbat shalom, Mishpacha. Shabbat shalom.